It is a wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day.
Amen.
To be able to awake on this morning,
Amen.
Thanking God for the many blessings that He has given us. The storms that came through on Friday night, I laughed at the weathermen when they were giving their forecast, their weather report, and they mentioned about setting your phones, taking them off of silence and turn them on so that you can hear the alerts. Mm-hmm. And they even suggested that you go out and you buy these weather little digital things that will give you the alerts when the storm is coming. For they mentioned that you cannot hear the tornado sirens when they go off because they are for outside. Well, I laughed at that too because we don't live in a soundproof house. When that alarm goes off at 12 o'clock at the beginning of the month when they're testing it, I hear it. 12 o'clock sharp, it goes off. It's right across there, so I guess I can hear it. Some of you others may not be able to. But I laughed at them because generally during a storm, it allows me to sleep good. I don't want anything to wake me up. Now, I did wake up when it was raining, and I just rolled over and went right back to sleep. But to awaken to the reports that were given, the devastation of the different areas that just destroyed and lives being lost, I want us to all think about the life that we're living. We know that we cannot run from storms. We can prepare all we want to prepare, but there is no escape. When it's time, it's time. So we have to get our lives in order.
Yeah.
Jonah ran from doing the will of God. And he was cast into the sea, realizing that he had done wrong and realizing that there was no escape, and he was the cause of the ship being almost torn apart. And just throw me over and you'll be okay. I want us to think about that just for a moment. Someone giving their life in order that you may be saved. So Jesus said that there will be no sign except for the sign of Jonah, being in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights. I want you to think about Jonah giving his life, though. Saying, I'm the reason, throw me over. This time of year, there's a lot of people remembering Jesus. They're remembering Jesus because he was born. But I want us to know that he was born for a reason.
Yeah.
He was born in order to save us from our sins. And then we know when we read that passage in Matthew 1:21. Where it says that she shall give birth to a son and he shall save his people from their sins. That passage is making reference to the Jews. He came to seek and to save that which was lost in Luke 19:10. That passage is making reference to the Jews, his people. Now, we as Gentiles became part of his people, when we obey the gospel. And we'll look at that in just a moment. But I want us to know that we do not see him as a baby. We do not even see him as being dead. We see him as being our Lord and our Savior, because he's not a child. He's not dead. He's living. He sits on the right hand of the Father. And when he instituted the Lord's Supper in Luke 22 and verse 19, Luke 22 and the verse is 19. These words that Jesus spoke, the Bible says, and he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, Brother Shelton quoted Acts 20 and 7. Upon the first day of the week. Not the beginning of the new year. Not the beginning of a new quarter. But upon the first day of the week. I make this analogy from time to time, and many others have made it as well, that when you go and you apply for a job, and they tell you that you begin on Monday and you get paid on Friday, do you ask them, do I get paid every Friday? No. You expect to get paid every Friday because that is what you came into an agreement about. I was looking at this thing the other day, and this lady was calling into the job, and she said, are we working today? The boss said, will you quit calling me? We work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. You call me every morning. Quit calling me. That is what you signed up for, was to work every day. When we became children of God, we signed up to partake of the Lord's Supper on the first day of every week. Yeah. Why? Do this in remembrance of me. Now, we just don't remember Christ upon the first day of the week. We remember him every day. Amen. And if you don't, something is wrong. We need to meditate on his word every day. We need to understand what he has done for us. And that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at what he has done for us. For what he did. That's why we remember him. You know, a lot of times we lose loved ones. And we think about them every day for a while. Then we think about them every other week, and then we think about them every other month, and then all of a sudden they are just a vague memory. Now we hold on to some things, but do we really remember them every day the way we remember our Lord and our Savior? My sister would text me from time to time, and she would tell me, I appreciate, you know, looking at your Facebook page, your profile picture. When my daddy died, I took a picture. It wasn't a picture with him, but it was a picture of that rug, that throw that the funeral home make for you. And I stood by and I took a picture. I had my sister take the picture, and I put that as my profile picture. It's still there today. Now, I have plans on removing it one day, but it is still there. She said, I appreciate that, because when I look at that, I remember Daddy. Now, there are some things that we have to have in our life in order to remember people. But to remember Jesus, every day, we need him in our lives. We need him to be active in our lives, and we need to remember again what he has done or what he did for us. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 and the verses 21, 1 Peter chapter 2 and the verses 21, we reflect back upon these things because these things still hold true today. Nothing has changed according to God's word. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. For to this you have been called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow his steps. That's what he did for us. He left us an example. He suffered for you and I. You know, there's hope for us. Some people will look at others and say, there's no hope for you. As long as you're living, there's hope. You have time to change. You have time to get your life in order. To look at the example that Christ has left for us and do the things that are right. What has he done for us? The Bible tells us there in verse 22, he committed no sin. No sin did he commit. Neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. That's our God. Now, this is the Son submitting himself to the Father, doing the things that God is pleased with, being the example that he wanted him to be in order that you and I may be able to live. You know, we need a good example. Man. You know, again, the news, it says a lot of things about a lot of people, and sometimes it says some things, and I just sit there and I shake my head again. The way that, you know, young children are taking other young children's lives, and then the ones whose life was taken, the news, they want to portray this individual as never doing anything wrong, an idol, somebody that you can look at and somebody that you can say, I want him or her to be my role model. The Bible tells us very clear that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I remember a lady asking my mom one time in reference to me as a child. She said, I bet you he was a bad child, wasn't he? My mom looked at her and said, no, he was a good child. Once you get something put on you, you act good. But in her eyes, I was good. You know what that meant? That meant when she said, do something, and if I didn't do it, I got punished for it, then I did what I was supposed to do. We were like that in the eyes of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're not, you know, somebody that has never committed any sin. Jesus was that person. He is that person. We've done wrong, but yet we have been saved. Yes. How have we been saved? We've been saved by the gospel message in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Starting with the first verse. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Verse 3. For I delivered to you as of first importance that I received that what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance to the scriptures. To what the word of God said, Christ did those things. Isaiah 53 talks about him, you know, taking on our iniquities. He was bruised for them. Nothing that he had done. He was in total obedience unto the Father. And we need to realize this, that this is the reason, again, that we can have salvation. This is the reason that we have been saved. This is the reason that we can remain saved, because of what Jesus did. In Acts chapter 2, he's no longer, as we just read there, he's no longer in the grave. He's not in that tomb anymore. He sits on the right hand of the Father. And we thank God for that. You're looking for him? You need to open up his word and you can find him. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2, starting with the 36th verse, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ. This Jesus whom you crucified." Now you hear people always saying that, you know, Jesus died for me. He saved me. No, Jesus died for you. But you're not saved until you do what the word says. Amen. You know, these people on this day here, the day of Pentecost, when Peter and the other apostles were preaching to them, the question was when he told them who Jesus was and what God had done for him. The Bible says in verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts." They were cut in their heart. "And they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brothers, what shall we do?" Now we need to know and we need to understand that when you're asking somebody, "What shall you do?" that you are expecting an answer. Something that you can relate to. Something that you can carry out. Peter didn't look at them and say, as the world is saying today, that Jesus has already done it. He died on the cross of Calvary. No, that's not what Peter said to them. Peter said there in verse 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises for you and for your children and for all who are afar off, and everyone that the Lord our God shall call." I'm so thankful that the promise just wasn't for those on that day. I'm thankful that the promise was and is for us today. That we may accept the word of God and that we may be obedient unto what the word says. And the Bible teaches us that when they heard this and when he was talking to them there in verse 40. See, sometimes we got to leave some people behind. We can't always do what everybody else is doing. He told them in verse 40, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." And verse 41 tells us what they did, the ones that wanted to do it. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. It's a lot of souls, isn't it? We rejoice over one. We rejoice over two. But can you imagine the rejoicing that was done on that day and the following days of individuals turning their lives over to God, not saying a prayer, but being obedient unto what Jesus had already commanded in Matthew 28 and Mark 16. Amen. "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Amen. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." In Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, and then Mark 16 and 16. See, we have to understand that the word has not changed. Amen. The word is still the same. What happens when you become a child of God, when you surrender all to Him? He tells us in verse 47, praising God in heaven, favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved.
Amen.
Day by day. It's a good thing, isn't it?
Amen.
That's still happening today. Individuals are being obedient unto the gospel call. And as many as the Lord our God shall call. Who have you tried to talk to about the gospel? Who have you talked to about the gospel? Sharing the good news about our Lord and our Savior, the things in which He went through, in order that we may have salvation or right to the tree of life. You know, we think back of some of the hours that our parents worked in order for us to have things. I want you to think about the hours that Jesus was on the cross in order for us to have salvation.
Amen.
Think of what He had to go through and was willing to endure it in order for us to be saved. See, a lot of us, we don't want to do anything for anybody. You want my child? You can have him. I'm not going to fight for him. I'm not going to give my life for him. He's not worth it. Jesus didn't say that, did He? God didn't say that, did He? He said, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life, in John 3:16. We have to accept this. And then we look at what He is doing. What He is doing. In John chapter 16, verses 23 through 24. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly I say to you, whatever you ask of my Father in my name, He will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Now, He's talking to His disciples. But I want us to know that we too can receive things from the Father, asking in the name of the Son. You know, we just have to come to the realization that there is a Father, there is a Son, and there is a Spirit.
Amen.
These three are one. One in accord, one in mind. You want to be one with them? You do what the Word says.
Amen.
What is He doing today? He's answering prayer. He's answering prayer. He goes to the Father on our behalf. He stands for us. He sees something in us that we have not seen, that no one else could see. He sees something in us like the Father seen in Saul. There was something about Saul, wasn't it? Saul was a determinate person. Saul was persistent. Saul was doing wrong, but yet Saul could do right. And he did. He listened to Jesus. He went to Damascus and he was saved. Then he proclaimed the word of God. We need to know that Jesus wants us to come to Him. There are so many people that are having troubles and they wonder, why me, why me, why me? Always reverse that and say, why not me? Not why not you, but why not me? Father, don't put that on them. They can't handle it. Well, a lot of times the reason people can't handle things is because they're trying to do it by themselves. We, not you, we need Jesus. And Jesus makes an invitation right here in the book of Matthew chapter 11 and the verse is 28. Come to me. All who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, when someone makes an invitation like that and you're going through some things in life, you might as well reach your hand out and say, take mine. Help me, please. I need you. Nowhere in Scripture do you find that God needs us. We need Him.
Amen.
We need to remember Jesus. Remember what He has done. Remember what He is doing. We fall short, no doubt. We fall short. We fall short on a regular basis. We don't have to, but we do. And a lot of times we fall short on a regular basis because we know that God is willing to forgive us. Now, we have to be sincere in asking for forgiveness. We have to be sincere in what we're doing in reference to the Word of God. So we find here in 1 John chapter 1, and the verse is 7. 1 John chapter 1 and the verse is 7. But if you walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Not some, not most. Not the ones that we may think are more serious than others, but all sin, He says. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what is He doing? What is He doing? He's waiting. He's waiting on you and He's waiting on me to turn to Him. To walk in the light as He's in the light. And if we fall back into the darkness, He's waiting on us to confess. Confess what? Somebody else's faults? No. Confess our faults, our sins. And He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I love the Word of God. I love how it tells us that if you're this way, it's okay. But if you're that way, you don't have to remain that way. You can change. Change for what is right and walk in a way that God is pleased with. Remembering Jesus for what He will do. For what He will do. What will He do? You know, a lot of people try you from time to time and say, you're not going to do anything. A lot of people in the Bible you read, you know, they were tired of waiting on Him. He ain't coming back. You go to Acts chapter 1 and it mentions about what you're looking for. The same way He ascended, He's going to descend. He went in the clouds, He's going to come back in the clouds. You don't have to just stand there and gaze up at Him, although they're beautiful. I've looked at some sceneries and I'm like, man, this is the perfect time for Him to come back. But it's not for me to say. It could be on a stormy day, or it can be on a sunny day, or it can be in the middle of the night. It's not for me to say. But know this, that He is coming back.
Amen.
The Bible teaches in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And we find that as we look here, thinking about the glorious return of our Savior, verse 5. This is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are also suffering. Well, let's back up a minute here. Why do we have to suffer? Why do we have to suffer? That's what the Scripture says here, is it not? that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are also suffering. You know why we have to suffer? Because our example suffered. Go back and read 1 Peter 2:21. He was our example. If Christ went through it, what makes us think that we shouldn't go through it? The only thing that we don't have to worry about here in the United States of America, and just wait, it may happen, is that someone take you out and make you carry your cross and crucify you like they did him. If it happens, it happens. If it don't, well, thank you. Thank you. Because our life cannot be given for someone else's life. We have to accept what Christ has done and the things that he went through. We have to understand that we too may have to go through some of those same things. Bible says in verse 6, since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, that day is coming. That day is coming in flame and fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Now they're going to suffer punishment. We may suffer down here upon this earth, but in the end, we don't have to suffer. Amen. All those things are done away with. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more dying. Just living around the throne, worshiping our God, our Creator, for what He will do. Amen. All we got to do is be patient. And we can't rush Him, but you can try. Ain't gonna do you any good. You ever had that person where you get ready to go somewhere and you're telling them, hurry up, and they start moving slower? Sometimes that's the way it seems with our God, doesn't it? Let me tell you why it seems like that, because he's not on our time. We're on his time. And we must understand that we are on borrowed time. Amen. And when he requires it back, he's gonna get it. So let's just be patient. And let's stay focused on what we need to do. In Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Because there is some punishment coming. There is some rewarding coming. In Romans chapter 2 verse 6. Romans 2 verse 6. He will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience and well doing for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. Verse 9, there will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also to the Greek. Remember that. Look at that passage. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Who did I tell you that Jesus came to save? His people, the Jew. Who was the gospel for? The Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul says in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Now I want us to know that the scripture does not lie. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. And that is what God is going to do come the end. But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also to the Greek. For God shows no partiality. Amen. For what he will do. That's why we need to remember Jesus. We need to remember him because, you know, a lot of times we ask that question, why are you putting me over here with him? Or why are you putting me over here with her? I don't want to be with them. We don't have nothing in common. Come to the end, you ain't got to worry about that. You don't have nothing in common with the world right now. Come to the end, you ain't got to worry about being with them. Why? Because of what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, for what the Bible says. Not for what I think, but for what God's word says. Verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all His angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another as shepherds separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on the left. And the King will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world. Now, I want us to hold on to that. Because the place in which we can spend our eternity has always been. But look at verse 41. Then He said to those on His left, depart from Me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell wasn't prepared for you and I. Heaven is that place.
Amen.
See, God created us holy as He is holy. Hell is not His home. Hell don't have to be our home. We have to focus on what Jesus has did, what Jesus is doing, and what He will do. We need to remember those things each and every day. Where did you come from? Now, many of us, we can think back when we lived a life of sin. We can think about the dirt that we did. And we can think about where God has brought us from. We remember those things. We don't forget them. We don't talk about them that often. But we remember. And you know, our children sometimes will remind us, well, you did that. The only reason they know we did it is because we have shared those things with them. We don't want them to make the mistakes that we have made. We don't share everything with them. No, don't do that. But we share some things with them because we don't want them to live a life of sin. We want them to do what is right.
Amen.
Maybe you're here today and you have not become a child of God. Think about what Jesus has done for us. Think about what He is doing for us. Think about what He will do for us or for you. Make up in your mind right now. Make up in your mind right now, because tomorrow is not yours.
Amen.
Make up in your mind right now to put Christ on through the water of your baptism. Come, make the confession that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and be immersed in the water of your baptism, rising to walk a newness of life. And if you're strayed away, we're asking you to come back. Because there's nothing out there in the world. It's all right here in the body. So let's do what's right. If you're here in your subject, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.
Six.